A More Beautiful Life podcast, recognizing, appreciating, and integrating earliest life experiences. There are times in our lives when we all yearn for something. More contact with others, a special relationship, a better job. More time to oneself, more respect, more love, more support, or well, anything. It can all be summed up in wanting a more beautiful life. You just fill in the blank for what equals beauty for you. My specialty is healing our earliest traumas to discover our truest nature. I've been working at understanding this paradigm for a long time. Since 1999, when a client remembered her birth during a craniosacral session. She explained to me that she felt healing her birth experience would relieve her lifelong depression. That experience took hold of me with such passion so that years later I'm filling in the gap between our ancestral past and our present lives with recognition of our earliest life experiences starting preconception. It involves appreciating how we adapted to our difficulties and then integrating any overwhelming experiences into our current lives. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life. This podcast includes luminaries from the fields of infant mental health, prenatal and perinatal psychology, colleagues and experts in trauma resolution, advanced body workers, clients who want to share their stories, authors of pivotal books and articles, and people who, in my opinion, have sought out a more beautiful life. Join me, Kate White, and our honored guest as we explore a more beautiful life. Enjoy. Today on the show, I have Dr. Amber Price. Dr. Price received a Bachelor in Behavioral Science from the University of Maryland, followed by a Bachelor of Science in Nursing from Old Dominion University. She completed her graduate degree at the University of Cincinnati, graduating with a Master of Nursing in Midwifery and a Postmaster Certificate in Global Women's Health. She received her Executive Doctorate in Nursing from the Johns Hopkins University with a research focus on change leadership. Dr. Price served as president of the American College of Nurse Midwives in Virginia and serves as a board member for the March of Dimes and Ronald McDonald House, as well as on state maternal mortality and perinatal quality boards. She was nominated for Birth Advocate of the Year in 2015 and for Global Women's Health Leader in 2018. In 2017, she won the prestigious Monarch Award for Innovation in Nursing. Originally from Holland, Dr. Price trained in New Zealand and has worked in women's and children's health clinically and as an administrator for more than 30 years. Dr. Price currently serves as the Chief Executive Officer and President for Sentara Williamsburg Regional Medical Center. In 2020, she was named as a woman to watch by Nashville Medical News. Dr. Price is a regular speaker on respectful maternity care and has published numerous articles as well as a recent book chapter on a woman's voice in maternal health. Her passion and expertise surrounding consent and her perspective on nurse, midwife, and hospital administrator make her an expert on the patient experience for women of childbearing age. Dr. Price works within her corporation and other organizations on a state and national level to improve outcomes for women and children and to increase access to respectful woman-centered care. And today on the show, I have Amber Price, who's the CEO and president of the Sentara Medical Center. And with such a wonderful honor to have her to be able to talk with her about her life experience running hospitals and being midwife, and her perspective on trauma-informed care. So, Amber, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to talk with you. And I've talked with you before, and I've listened to so many of the things that you've had to say. And it was wonderful to talk with you previously on our podcast, A More Beautiful Life, when we were tracking some of the things that you were doing around your weight loss journey. But today I would love to talk about your role there and the role of trauma-informed care in the hospital setting. So I'm wondering if you would like to just introduce yourself and just say anything you would like about your life experience helping families and hospitals.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I started actually as a doula many, many years ago. I'll try not to date myself. And I'm now the CEO of a regional medical center. I am a nurse midwife. I practiced for many years out of hospital and then eventually in hospital, really adopting high-risk care as well. So I have a pretty broad overview of the care of women in all spectrums and in all realms of maternal neonatal medicine. I'm also a speaker on respectful maternity care. I'm an author on trauma-informed care. All of these things are near and dear to my heart because, in the end, all of these things combined help create a trauma-free experience for somebody coming in to have a baby in our systems. And that's where my passion comes from, to make sure that people have empowering, safe healthcare experiences, and go home with a toolbox that empowers them to be wonderful parents. But on the other flip side of that, I'm also responsible for the people in the hospital and make sure that they have a great work day every day, and that they too are protected from trauma, and that we're realizing that that is becoming a more and more impactful issue, particularly post-COVID, as we're seeing an exodus of doctors and nurses from the healthcare system. So I'm happy to be here and lend my expertise, and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, it's really my honor to be with you. And we have had conversations before about this topic. And I know from my own experience of helping birthing families and listening to them, and also trying to get a handle on how can we make change here in our system, our maternity system. I know it's not so simple. And I've for a long time listening to people who have well, let's try to figure this out. There's a lot of criticism of the professional's role. But I've been in direct relationship with a midwife for now over 20 years. I've learned a lot about what happens at births. And it's not so cut and dry. And I know that helping a professional feel good on the inside when they go to births is really crucial. And I'm wondering if you could say a little bit more about that, Amber, from your perspective.
Yeah, so somebody's experience is entirely, something that they're going to internalize the way they're going to internalize it. It's based in the expectation that you have going into the experience and then the reality of what you experience. So what could be a phenomenal experience for one person, if that exact experience was given to somebody else, could be a devastatingly traumatic experience. So we need to understand what people's expectations are around birth and then how to manage those things. And we're not very good at that in healthcare. Often the very medical side of healthcare believes that they're doing the right things clinically for someone, when the person experiencing that doesn't come in with the same knowledge base or evidence base or understanding of why medical decisions are made, and perceives the great care we think we're giving as abuse, as direct abuse. And in the end, the definition of obstetric violence is the perception that something didn't make you feel great in an experience, right? We don't have much beyond that, other than how it made you feel. So we need to get back to a place where we understand what people's expectations are, that we're putting the why behind the actions that we're performing, that people have a voice and are heard and are part of decision making, so that in the end, people leave understanding what happened to them, had a say in their care, and leave feeling empowered and had an optimal experience regardless of how that birth experience went.
Yeah, well, there's all these ways that people, I think, sort of block out. Like, well, they say, oh, that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to have the cascade of interventions. They do a lot of just a lot of assumptions, I think, inside themselves, and trying to really prepare a family in a very just sort of graceful way so they don't get scared or they don't get triggered. That's part of the challenge of the childbirth educator. And trying to provide information, trying to create a space where they'll feel safe. And then when I try to go out into the community and educate, and what I hear from birth professionals is that there is like a feeling of that the most vulnerable people are the baby and the family, and they don't feel like they have any power within a hospital setting. And I don't know how we can change all of that, except for to create a more safety in the space. And I think it must be relational safety. And I'm sometimes I wonder about how it is in hospitals. Like, do staff feel that they have safety in their space, relational space? And is that something that hospitals are talking about these days?
Well, we are talking about it, particularly because we're coming out of COVID with people really being disillusioned with healthcare and not wanting to be in a position where they're having daily experiences where they feel completely powerless, where they're trying to do the right thing, and you don't feel like you had a great day at the end of the day. So it's getting more and more difficult to keep people feeling really positive about being in healthcare. But there are a couple of issues here. One is that you know, birth changes, right? Over the years, people perceive birth in different ways. It was a very much a normal part of life that we knew had risk, and that we knew, you know, sometimes had a terrible outcome before we had all the interventions that we have today. Then we moved into a space where physicians heavily managed labor and birth. Women were essentially knocked out for the entire experience and completely unaware, and it was managed completely externally by a system, and it was handed over to others. Then we went through a phase where we reclaimed birth, right? Where we spoke up and said we want to go back to a normal, natural process. And then we've landed where we are today, which is a little bit of a, I'm coming in with a wish list of things that I like and things that I don't like. But often what happens is that there's a perception that if I don't do anything and if I have a completely hands-off birth, it'll be safe and it'll be perfect. The reality of birth is that it's just in as fraught with danger and potential bad outcomes as it was 200 years ago. And it is still the number one killer of women and girls around the world. And so we've forgotten that the hospital is here to safeguard you and to make sure that we're doing all those things that stop those bad things from happening. We have set our bar at zero, zero maternal mortality, zero neonatal mortality. And that means that we pull out all the bells and whistles and technology when somebody comes in the door. Hospitals see these things happen every single day. Yes. And when you're in the community, you hear about them very, very rarely. So there's where the disconnect is. People come in with what they see on social media, on Instagram. They want to design their birth experience. And the hospital looks at this person as a potential bad outcome that we want to avoid. And that's where the trauma often occurs, right? The person who has an image in their head of what they want their birth to be and experience some sort of an intervention that the birth team knows safeguards their life, leaves experiencing something that felt traumatic or invasive or interrupted that respectful maternity care component. On the flip side, the people who are trying to safeguard you may not always have your respectful maternity care or patient experience in mind. They see that prevention of harm and prevention of a bad outcome as their top priority, and they dismiss the component of respectful care that really, in more than 90% of the time, is going to be a perfectly normal birth. So it's that perception that people don't care about the danger or the risk, and the perception on the patient's part that people don't care about it as an experience that gets us where we are today, with trauma actually happening on both sides.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if you could paint a picture of, if you could have the respectful maternity care that you would like, what would be your vision, Amber? I'd like to hear how you would design it if you could have a magic wand. And this is what I want for birthing families and for my staff.
Well, it's not going to be based in opinion. It's going to be based in fact. So we know how we have the best outcomes in birth, and that's always in a collaborative care setting. So it doesn't matter if you're home or in the hospital, as long as there's great collaboration across specialties and great open communication, women will have better outcomes. And that means that you have to have a mix of skilled physicians, skilled high-risk care providers, skilled nurses, but also midwives. You need people who are experts at normal or passionate about normal. And all of those people have to talk to each other and work together in a seamless system. to include transport from home, to include access to care that is available to all women everywhere. That's the ideal system. That system does not currently exist, and there's still quite a bit of animosity, misunderstanding, and a lack of access to care. On top of that, the healthcare system overall, there's a distrust with people who are interacting with the healthcare system, and there are a lot of misconceptions about the healthcare system. In the end, as a hospital CEO, it is my job to make sure that I'm safeguarding you, that you have a great experience. And so the hospital tends to have the policies in place that allow for that. Often where the disconnect happens is with the patient and the person at the bedside who has a very clear idea of how they want their care to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's really that provider and that patient that decide how everything works out. But often at the end of that, the perception of the patient is that it's the system or everyone involved that had some role in this disconnect between provider and patient. So there's a lot of education needed if we want to move to a place of respectful maternity care. It means that patients have to come in with a really good evidence base and understanding of how to advocate and making sure they're asking for things that are absolutely reasonable. I'll give you a great example. What we're seeing today is that women are not really taking childbirth classes, not the way that women were in the 80s, for example.
I see that too.
They're exposed to reality television, which gives a really difficult and skewed view of what birth is. And Kate, I'm seeing people coming in asking to have a birth standing at the bedside with a professional photographer, a very empowered birth, but they want to be pain-free and have an epidural as well. They don't want to feel it. And so these are unrealistic expectations, right? We know that when you're completely numb with an epidural, you can't stand, you don't have the use of your legs. But people don't know that because they're not going to their childbirth classes anymore. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing completely unrealistic expectations. We're seeing people who didn't know that you can have a tear when you have a baby because they didn't take a class. They had no idea that that was possible. We're seeing people who don't know that it's work to push a baby out because television shows skip to the very end where your baby comes out and they skip the many hours it sometimes take to work your baby out. So social media, television, all of those things have not made that better. So we need to get back to a place where we're having great preparation during childbirth, really realistic expectations from our patients. On the flip side, we have to work on the people who are currently caring for moms and babies in our system to understand that the way that they interact with their patients, build trust and listen and be respectful around these disconnects has a huge impact on that patient as they're having their baby. Just because you don't know something doesn't mean you're stupid, right? Just because you come in with this vision that you think is absolutely true or something you learned from a meme on social media doesn't mean that we don't respect that and try to work with you to give you the birth that's closest to the vision in your head. What I tell providers who come to me who are really frustrated with someone who has beliefs that we know are not evidence-based or are not congruent with how we provide care is that you're not going to change this person's mind in the next 5 minutes. This is a lifetime of a belief system that has developed around birth and parenting that you're not going to change. So we have to change. We have to meet her in some place where we can provide those things that are important to her within the realm of safety. And from my end as an administrator, that means a massive overhaul of our policies to build a culture of yes, to build a culture of respect, and not a culture of ridicule or a culture where we do the same thing over and over.
Right.
Birth is not a knee replacement. You can't do it over and over again until you get better at it. It has to be individualized each and every time. And that means we have to slow down, listen, be respectful, and say yes as much as possible. And that's how we'll get there.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. It actually gives me chills. And I look forward to exploring this more with you at some point, Amber. And our upcoming series, I look forward to what you have to say on birth trauma and the professional. I do know that supporting our professionals will make births go better. And I'm really honored to be with you and to work on this. So I'm going to ask you the question I ask everyone at the end of my podcast, which is what makes your life more beautiful? I know I'm surprising you a little bit with this question, but I'm wondering if you could just off the top of your head, just say, what does make your life more beautiful, Amber?
Well, what makes my life more beautiful is that I know that I have an impact every day. have an impact on how people are treated in the scariest and most anxiety performing moments of their life. And I apologize for the noise, but there's a helicopter taking off outside my window. But that helicopter reminds me, and I'll show you, I'll turn my camera around. Helicopter's taking off right now with somebody who needs emergent care, and that I can get quickly to emergent care. So having that impact every day and making sure that people get the care they need and they get it in a respectful and kind way, that's what makes me happy today. And being able to share that with all of you and talk a little bit about how we can make things better together.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for coming on the show today, Amber. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to A More Beautiful Life podcast. To support our show, please go to Patreon / A More Beautiful Life.